The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod.
September 2nd.
I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1970, after being handed a major budget cut by Congress, NASA canceled Apollo 18 and Apollo 19, two scheduled manned lunar landing missions. Apollo 20 had already been struck from the schedule, so that the upper stage of its Saturn V rocket could be refitted into the upcoming Skylab space station. In 1988, the Soviet Union lost contact with the space probe Phobos 1 en route to the planet Mars. A single character typo in a single line of code transmitted to Phobos 1's onboard computer shut off its attitude control thrusters, leaving Phobos 1 cartwheeling through space, unable to point its antenna toward Earth. Born on this day in 1946, comic artist Walt Simonson. Teacher and astronaut Krista McAuliffe was born today in 1948. She was one of the seven astronauts who died during the final flight of Space Shuttle Challenger. ELO violinist Mick Kaminsky, he of the Blue Violin, was born in 1951. And Keanu Reeves was born in 1964.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin.
Kristen Cloke, one of the stars of the 90s space war epic Space Above and Beyond, was born in 1968. Cynthia Watros, who played Libby on Lost, was born the same year. J.R.R. Tolkien died on this day in 1973. In 2019, the script editor of Doctor Who from 1968 through 1974 and the writer of the vast majority of the Target Books novelizations of classic Doctor Who stories died, Terence Dix.
My name is Terence Dix, script editor from around the years 1968 to 1974, but I was fairly extensively involved in the creation of Joe Grant, and later of Sarah Jane Smith.
In 1966, the BBC announced that the keys of the TARDIS were about to be handed over to a new doctor. Patrick Troughton was first revealed as the replacement for the ailing and outgoing William Hartnell. What the BBC didn't explain was how an actor who was so different from the original star of the show would be taking over as the doctor. But maybe they didn't need to worry about it. In 1967, the fifth season of Doctor Who began with an eerie journey into the legendary and deadly Tomb of the Cybermen.
This is an archaeological expedition. We are searching the universe for the last remains of the Cybermen.
Cybermen? You mean to say they came from here?
But of course. Telos was their home. This is the entrance to their city.
We know they died out many centuries ago. What we don't know is why they died out.
The master tapes of Tomb of the Cybermen were erased by the BBC, but a complete copy of all four episodes was miraculously found in Hong Kong in 1992. In 1978, Doctor Who's 16th season began with an unusual innovation, a mission for the Doctor and his new companion Romana that would last the entire season.
The key to time is a perfect cube, which maintains the equilibrium of time itself. It consists of six segments, and these segments are scattered and hidden throughout the cosmos. When they are assembled into the cube, they create a power which is too dangerous for any being to possess. There are times, Doctor, when the forces within the universe upset the balance to such an extent that it becomes necessary to stop everything.
Stop everything?
For a brief moment only, until the balance is restored. Such a moment is rapidly approaching. These segments must be traced and returned to me before it is too late.
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader supported. And there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, Expanded Memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic, arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks and anything you might want from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. There are original designs on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page of thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod landing procedure. The logbook of your escape pod was written and produced by Earl Kane.
And the TARDIS landed with its characteristic wheezing and groaning sound.